Welcome to News in Focus with your host, Chris Long, president of the Ohio Christian Alliance. Stay tuned for an analysis and conversation about the issues that matter most to you and your family. Here now with this week's edition of News in Focus is Chris Long.
And welcome to this edition of News in Focus. We're glad that you've joined us, and we hope that you had a great 4th of July Independence Day. In fact, we encourage people across the state to read the Declaration of Independence with their families as they sat around. The Long family did that. In fact, we read it twice, as my daughter wasn't on hand for the one reading in the morning, so we read it in the afternoon during our picnic time. You're listening to News in Focus, a broadcast of the Ohio Christian Alliance. And today we're going to talk about the Constitution, the Declaration of Independence, actually our founding documents, and where our school children are in the Ohio education process of who we are as an American republic. Let me begin by reading just the first phrases of the Declaration of Independence. When in the course of human events it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them with another, to assume among the powers of the earth the separate and equal station to which the laws of nature and of nature's God entitle them, a decent respect to the opinions of mankind requires that they should declare the causes which impel them to the separation. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving the just powers from the consent of the governed, that whenever any form of government becomes destructive of these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or to abolish it, or to institute new government, laying its foundation on such principles and organizing its powers in such form as to them shall seem most likely to affect their safety and happiness. We encourage you to read the Declaration of Independence and actually our Constitution. With us on the phone is our good friend Roger Beckett, who is the Executive Director of the Ashbrook Center, which is the Scholars Program at Ashland University, the Political Science Department, and is really a notable work that they do in sending out leaders across our country who have done some pretty remarkable things over the years. And we're going to talk about that in their master's program, how they educate Ohio school teachers, how that they can go back into the classroom with a better understanding of the founding documents. Roger, welcome to the program.
Chris, it's great to be back with you today.
Well, thank you, my friend. How did you spend the Independence Day?
Well, like most of us, just with our family, and of course, a good reading of the Declaration is always an important thing to do. It's always great fun, especially when you get to the end, and there are always boos and jeers for the abuses that this that King George III put upon the American colonists. It's always wonderful fun.
Well, it is. And, you know, as we read the different causes for their separation, their complaints about the tyranny of under King George, of course, very serious for the times, no doubt. And then, of course, as you read that last phrase, we pledge our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor. And it's really a sobering thought when you, if you've done any study or research as to what exactly these men did suffer, many of them, as a result of putting pen to paper and ascribing their names to that document.
Oh, it's remarkably true. It's those weren't just words. They were pledging that to each other, and many of them made great losses. But the thing that's remarkable about that document, just the beginning of that sentence, second sentence, we hold these truths to be self-evident. It's just, you know, for so many of us, we take that for granted today. But that was the first time in the history of the world that someone bothered to write that down, and to have written it in such a clear way, and to say that governments are instituted among men to secure these rights. They, from the very beginning, explained the purpose of government in this very clear, understandable document to the American people, and of course to King George III as well. Just a remarkable document.
Well, that's right. And of course, on the 4th of July is when the public heard this Declaration of Independence, first read in Philadelphia. Some days later, actually on July 9th, received by General Washington, already in the field of battle, and he read it to his troops on July 9th, and then he commissioned chaplains to minister to the troops. And that was the launch of our national chaplaincy program in the U.S. military. Many people don't realize that, but and it came on the heels of the reading of this great document, the Declaration of Independence.
Oh, exactly. Exactly. And it just a document that I think the first Congress, or the Continental Congress at the time, they produced 200 copies of it and had it sent around to the colonies, which of course, you know, they didn't have the technology we have today, so they didn't get around to signing it until early August. And then it took a while to get it around to the states and or to the colonies and get the word out to people about the thing. But just remarkable the way that document still speaks to us today, is still relevant to us today. That's one of the things that always impresses me. It's just that's such a clear description of the purpose of government that I think so many of us still believe to be the purpose of government and still aspire to in this effort to self-govern one another.
We're talking with Roger Beckett, who is the executive director of the Ashbrook Center at Ashland University, and it is a undergraduate program of political science. And of course, they've done some great work over the years and sent leaders out all across this country. Many are in Washington. Others are teaching at other colleges and universities. They're movers and shakers across the country. But now, Roger, one of the things that you're very passionate about and a great success, I might add, is a master's program. Tell us about that, because this is a summer intensive for Ohio school teachers.
It is, Chris, and I think it's a very important effort, because what we're trying to do is work with American history and American government teachers from all around the country to help them develop a deeper understanding and appreciation of America. And the way we do it is very simple. We put original documents in front of them, and it's unbiased. We look at both sides of the debate over the Constitution, or the debate over the Civil War, or FDR and Herbert Hoover arguing with each other about the progressives. But you get to the real story of America by using these documents. And the effect of this work has been to encourage teachers to put aside their textbooks, which are very boring and usually very biased, and get to that real story of the country and help their students better understand that. And we do it through a master's program. We do it through programs that we're running in 18 different states right now. We worked with over 4,000 of these teachers in the past year. And it's remarkable how much they welcome our work and appreciate being able to work with our great faculty. And it's just very rewarding work to be able to do.
Well, and this is a great compliment and supplement to what we launched as an organization, the Founding of American Documents Curriculum, a project of the Ohio Christian Alliance that we worked on for 10 years. Actually, I worked on it before I came to my current post with the Christian Alliance as an individual to really assure that our young people were learning the founding documents of our country, namely the Declaration of Independence, the U.S. Constitution, the Bill of Rights, the Northwest Ordinance, the Ohio Constitution. And what we did with the Founding of American Documents curriculum was take one full credit hour out of the three credit hours required under social studies and dedicate it to American government and history standards. Senator Larry Obaugh was our sponsor in the Senate, and in the House was none other than State Representative John Adams. I love that he was our sponsor in the House. And actually, between those two gentlemen, we were able to get that through, and Governor Kasich, to his credit, did sign it in 2012. We're now 5 years into the implementation of the Founding of American Documents curriculum, again, enhancing with requirements and guideposts of American government and history standards in the Ohio schools from the 8th through the 12th grade with an end-of-course exam in the 12th grade level. Now, your predecessor, Peter Schramm, was an endorser of this initiative, and we had a lot of fine folks that were supplementing and helping us moving through the legislature. In fact, the state school board at the time, elections do count. We got some conservatives on the state school board at the time. Jeff Harden, who has since passed away, was a very instrumental. Brian Williams and others were very helpful in getting the endorsement of the state school board. We'd never had that in previous years. Again, a 10-year progress, attempt to get this done. We finally did get it done. Now what we're doing is shepherding it. We're, with follow through. Mr. Reagan used to say, trust but verify, making sure that the districts are following through on their commitment. But your master's program is essential because now you're talking about educators who have an understanding of the documents and are able to share that passion with their students. Your thoughts?
Oh, no, exactly, Chris. And I think what we're doing is just following up on the important standards that you set there. And when you think about what's happening on college campuses and the craziness that we all see, it's not surprising that most teachers who come out of a typical university are not going to have a strong understanding of the country, of our founding documents. And to the extent that there is an understanding, it's often rather unfriendly toward the founding documents and the founders themselves. And so what we're trying to do is work with teachers who don't have that view. College, a lot of college professors who teach American things at most universities, high school teachers don't hate America. They think something well of their country, and they want to help their students become good citizens. And so they need to develop a better understanding of those documents and really spend time talking about those great lines that you started with from the Declaration of Independence and what those mean. You can talk about that for hours with students, which we often do. And so we're just simply trying to follow through with that and give teachers the tools that they need to be able to actually implement this in their classrooms.
Well, that's right. And it helps to make these documents part of the student takes in ownership then, and as they ought to, because this is their republic, this is their liberty, this is their freedom, and it's there for the having, but they have to take ownership of it in a sense of understanding it. You know, the Bible says that without knowledge, for lack of knowledge, my people perish. You know, when a nation forgets who we are and where we've come from and what our foundation is, that's a nation in trouble. And I would have to say we're still a nation in trouble today, even though in Ohio we've kind of we've turned the ship, as it were, with requiring, but again, the teaching of the founding documents. But it all comes down to implementation into the districts. And there's current state school board members are telling us is saying, Chris, this is a constant battle. We can see by way of attitude and bureaucracy an attrition of what you accomplished trying to erode those standards. And that's why we put an end of course of exam as a requirement. And again, this is all 88 school districts. You know, for instance, even the Tea Party at the time, who, you know, were not for, you would say, requirements or mandates, but this is one in which I think most Americans thought was a given, that our young people were learning the founding documents of our country when they realized how diminished it was. And with some of the textbooks like We the People that the National Education Association put together, it's so watered down the original text that the founders themselves wouldn't have recognized their own writ the way that the We the People NEA textbook had put it forth. So that's why we basically, somebody said, well, what's the curriculum textbooks, and said the documents themselves. These kids need to be reading the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, the Declaration of Independence, the Northwest Ordinance. Therein is your instruction, and then to discuss it in the classroom. And is what you're doing in your master's program is just that, helping these educators to have the supplemental documents And because one of the books that you put out through your program there is 50 Core Documents of Our American Founding. Tell us a little bit about that work.
Well, and Chris, you're exactly right. The parallel, I think, between our faith and what we think about the country, you have a country that was founded by a group of people who wanted to be able to seek religious liberty. And a large part of that was being able to read the Bible for themselves and understand what it means and not be told by the Church of England what that Bible means. And politically, this is the same act. It's a question of just looking at these documents for us as citizens, not accepting this 20th century progressive notion that you need to defer to experts to tell you what these documents mean. The text can be revealed to yourself. You can through conversation, through thinking these things through, and that's really what we're encouraging. And our 50 Core American Documents is just the beginning of that effort. Just looking at choosing 50 of those documents that really are key to understanding the country, and we're building on that and building an entire curriculum for American history and American government teachers that would allow them to put aside their textbooks completely and teach with nothing but original documents for every subject that they need to teach in the curriculum for those two subjects. And you're exactly right, but that's really the key to developing a much better understanding of our history and who we are as a people.
Well, and it's such a great effort that you're doing at the Ashbrook Center. Again, we're talking with Roger Beckett, the executive director of the Ashbrook Center at Ashland University. A nationally known political science department that's been renowned over the years, named after former Congressman John Ashbrook, who passed away. And this was his district, and he was a strong constitutionalist, a great conservative, and the legacy continues. And he was a good friend of Ronald Reagan's as well. One of the books that was written a few years ago before Peter Schramm passed away was A Constitutional Conversation, The Complete Letters from an Ohio Farmer. What I love about this book, first of all, my first love of the Constitution came from an Ohio farmer. He actually used to take me to little constitutional classes or clubs, and where they would basically just talk about the Constitution. They would make it relative to some of the challenges. Maybe it was land rights issues, property issues, that kind of thing. And what's funny is that it was in rural area, but there were people from the inner city that came, minorities came from the inner city saying, hey, and I'm having a problem with my landlord. I'm having problems with the city on this issue. And they would talk in very practical terms what their rights were constitutionally. Kind of a fundamental common law type discussion. But that's where I learned my appreciation for the Constitution was from an Ohio farmer. So I love this book that you put together. And this is a great read, by the way. Tell us the initiative behind this project, from a few years ago, but very relative.
Well, it was. It was when the Republicans took over the House. And the idea was to try to help them rhetorically. And we did. It was something that was addressed to members of Congress, to their staff, to their speech writers, helping them think through the questions before them. And really, one of the key points of that book that I think is still relevant to us today is the importance of Congress thinking through the constitutionality of issues that are before them. You know, for the first 125 years of this great experiment in self-government, there would be debates in Congress about whether it was constitutional for Congress to act on a particular issue. And now I think the default position, even among some of our Republican friends, is to say, well, let's just leave that to the courts. No, that's not what the founders had in mind. They want Congress thinking through the constitutionality of issues. They don't want that power in the courts. They wanted the power in the people's hands, in the legislature. And so we were just trying to encourage them in the challenges before them to think through these things in a different way. And it had some good practical effect.
Absolutely. It's a good read. Again, it's called A Constitutional Conversation, The Complete Letters from an Ohio Farmer, written, like the Federalist Papers, anonymous are the contributors to this, but taking on some topics for the then representatives of the new Congress under John Boehner to consider, and the balance of powers. I love that one. You know, the responsibilities of Congress. There was so many good things in national security, federal debt. A number of very key issues were addressed in this book, and it continues to be a good read. If somebody wanted to pick up this book, again, A Constitutional Conversation, The Complete Letters from an Ohio Farmer, where would they get that? On your website?
We do. We have it out on our website on ashbook.org. We have links to the full set of letters. They're all available for free out there. I think we even have a PDF of the book that you can download on the website.
And you have some great gatherings that are available and open to the public during the year when you have various speakers come in. How can people sign up for your email list to get the newsletter?
Oh, absolutely. It's just go to our website, ashbrook.org, A-S-H-B-R-O-O-K. .org. We bring out a lot of great speakers every year. They come out primarily to spend time with our students, but we make them available to the public as well. We just had Tucker Carlson out here who just gave a fantastic talk with our students, and we're bringing out Brian Kilmeade from Fox and Friends. He's going to be doing something for us later in the year. He has a new book on Andrew Jackson and some of the parallels between Jackson and Trump, and that book is coming out shortly. So Brian will be back with us, but a lot of great folks that come out in the course of the year, and certainly invite everyone to join us. They're great events.
Well, that's right. And then, of course, yesterday you actually put out a little email with a quiz in it, a 10-question quiz on the Declaration of Independence. It was kind of fun. I actually pulled 8 of the 10 questions. I got stumped on, I didn't know if it was King George the second or third. I knew it was King George, but I didn't know he was second or third. And the other one was the official signing date of the Declaration of Independence, as you referenced earlier in our program. It was August 2nd. I knew July 2nd was when it was actually finished. July 4th is when they presented it to the public. But you're saying the official signing then took place with all 56 signers later in August. Is that correct?
That's right. So on July 2nd, they voted for independence. And looking at Jefferson's rough draft of the document, and they sent Jefferson and four others off to fix some things in the document. So they approved the document on July 4th. But then, of course, they had to have someone put it on parchment and give it the appearance that we know today. And they didn't bother getting around to signing that until August 2nd. But July 2nd was the date that we said we're going to be independent, and then July 4th was when they finalized the language. So that's the date that we celebrate as a country.
What of this little news, and we only have 1 minute left here, but they found a copy in Great Britain of the Declaration of Independence. Was that proven to be authentic?
I think that was one I saw recently, and I think it was, because there were these 200 copies that were sent out, and not all of them are that necessarily survive, or do we know where they are. And so these John Dunlap was the man who wrote them, the Dunlap broadsides of the Constitution, as they're called. They occasionally, you know, they come out of some private collection from somewhere and make their way into the public.
Well, that's great. We'll have to have you back. Roger Beckett, Executive Director of the Ashbrook Center. That's ashbrook.org. Thanks, Roger.
Great to be with you, Chris.
God bless you. And we'll be back on the other side. Don't go away.
Who's looking out for seniors today? It's not the AARP. AARP worked overtime to help pass Obamacare, the legislation that cut over $700 billion from Medicare. And AARP supports the death tax, which can rob families of over half their savings due to the death of a loved one. Seniors know that AARP would rather make millions peddling insurance products than support the policies that actually help America's elderly. That's why America's seniors count on the 60 Plus Association. For more than 20 years, 60 Plus has been fighting for the seniors that AARP has left behind. 60 Plus fought against Obamacare and continues to fight every day for its repeal in Washington. And 60 Plus is the leading national organization working to repeal the death tax once and for all, so that families can pass down their businesses and farms to the next generation, not the IRS. Stand up for your values. Join 60 Plus today. Visit 60plus.org or call 703-807-2070. This message paid for and authorized by the 60 Plus Association.
Those serving in our military, they're the difference makers. Separated from family, enduring hardships far from home, sacrificing for their country while serving in a different country. Well, for those of us who support our armed forces through the USO, we get to make a difference too. Through the USO, we get to be the force that delivers the phone call between spouse and deployed service member. The force that brings newborn and new parent together through a delivery room video chat. And the force that makes sure our military, serving 7,000 miles away, gets to watch the big game from a USO center. We get to be the force behind the forces, connecting them to every comfort of family, home, and country possible. It's a good feeling to make a difference. Visit uso.org/force to learn how you can be the force behind the forces.
And I want to thank our good friend Roger Beckett of the Ashbrook Center for being our guest today. And again, that's visiting them on their website is ashbrook.org. And you can find all the materials there pertaining to the course study and, of course, many of the materials that they make available and the special events that they have at Ashland University that are available to the public. And you want to take advantage of that, that's for sure. Well, we have a program note here for many in the Northeast Ohio area. Remember Matt Patrick. Matt Patrick actually conducted his last radio program this morning down in Houston, Texas. He has been down there after leaving Northeast Ohio. He's been on the radio personality for many years in the greater Akron, Canton, Cleveland area, and he went a few years ago to Houston, Texas to get on a large radio program down there and morning show. He's been battling with cancer for the last couple of years, and there was an announcement today that today was his last radio program, and he is actually suspending all cancer treatments. So it's a very difficult time for the Patrick family. We ask that you pray for Matt Patrick and his family, as the future now is unknown. Things have degenerated with his cancer battle, but let's lift up our brother in prayer. Well, with us on the phone is State Representative Andy Brenner, who is the chairman of the Education Committee at the Ohio State House. And, of course, we're going to continue our discussion about the Founding of American Documents curriculum and our follow-up of it. In fact, you can participate. We'd like to hear from you at the Ohio Christian Alliance as to how your student or grandchild is doing in the Ohio classroom when it, pertaining to learning about the Declaration of Independence, the U.S. Constitution, the Bill of Rights, the Federalist and Anti-Federalist Papers, the Northwest Ordinance, and the Ohio Constitution. All of those are specified in the requirements that we passed 5 years ago, and Governor Kasich did sign it into law. All 88 school districts are required to have American government and history standards from the 8th through the 12th grade. Of course, on the high school level, it accelerates with an end-of-course exam so that they have actually for graduation. There is requirement that they have certain knowledge of our founding documents. This was lacking in Ohio education in recent years, over the last few decades, and we wanted to remedy that. And that's what we were doing with the Founding of American Documents curriculum. In fact, after the passage of that law, by the way, the legislature asked the state school board They actually passed a resolution saying you need to report to us. And in fact, the Ohio Department of Education needs to report as well. So that's a requirement that they need to report annually back to the state legislature as to the progress and implementation of the Founding of American Documents curriculum and American Government and History standards and how we're doing. Here to talk about that more is State Representative Annie Brenner, who is the chairman of the Education Committee at the Ohio House. Representative, welcome.
Well, thank you, Chris, for having me on this afternoon. I do appreciate it.
Well, thank you. Of course, the legislature just wrapped up with the biennium budget, and they signed it. They sent it off to Governor Kasich, and he went through something like 72 line item vetoes. Do I got that number right? Something in that neighborhood?
It was 47.
47.
47 line item. Of the 47, a large chunk of them were Medicaid and education related. So, yeah. And we're going to be in session tomorrow morning, actually, right now, scheduled to be in session tomorrow morning at, I believe, 9 a.m. to vote to potentially override a bunch of those vetoes.
Well, that's great. Well, you know, again, going back to where we're at as far as our progress of the Founding American Documents curriculum, mm-hmm. you've been in discussions with the state's Board of Education. What have they said as about a reports? What reports are available currently?
Well, I looked it up. I mean, you'd actually asked me about this, and it was a good question as to what is the current status of it. So I checked with the state school board as well as the Legislative Service Commission, which is the arm of the General Assembly that does the bill analysis, and they do the drafting of the bills, and then they also take in the report. And as of at least this morning, when I spoke to them, they had a report that essentially was issued in 2012 that they had in fact implemented the founding documents. Standardized the standards themselves into our state standards. So those were adopted, and as you said, there are two NCORS exams, American Government and American History, and the American Government and American History test, according to the Department of Ed, 20% of those test questions have to cover the founding documents that were passed into law back in the 129th General Assembly. I know that the bill, I was in the Education Committee in the Ohio House side. When we passed the House version, there was a Senate mirror version that went on to become law. But it does require various things be incorporated, and they were incorporated at the times that were appropriate in the that were set by statute, which I believe were by the end of December 2013. So the students since then should be reading the original text and at age appropriate levels of things such as the Declaration of Independence, which we just celebrated yesterday, the Northwest Ordinance, the Constitution of the United States with an emphasis on the Bill of Rights, and the Ohio Constitution, and other documents such as the Federalist Papers that were associated with the founding of the nation. And those should be incorporated in the standards today, and local curriculum, which is done by all the local school districts throughout the state of Ohio. That would include all of our traditional public districts, as well as even the community schools, should have this incorporated in their local curriculum, and they should be teaching it. And those should be going on right now throughout the state of Ohio. Of course, they'll be starting up again in September or August when they go back to school.
We're talking with State Representative Andy Brenner, who is the chairman of the Education Committee at the Ohio State House. We're talking about the progress of the teaching of American government and history standards, namely the Founding of American Documents curriculum that was passed in 2012, signed into law. Now, Representative, as you just indicated, and I pulled off the standards myself off the website of the Department of Education, mm-hmm. and it does list it there as the end of course exams are American history and government as part of the criteria. And my own school district, where our daughter attends, Barberton City Schools, I've talked to the teachers there, and of course, and have talked to my students. My son Timothy graduated last year and Caroline this year, and they are getting exposure and teaching on the founding documents in the classroom. But it varies, it seems like, from some of the polling that we're getting, talking to some of our contacts around the state, it seems to vary. Now, I talked to someone in Central Ohio, and she sits on a regional school board oversight committee, and there's like five districts, and she was reviewing, and she said, yeah, I can only tell that maybe there's only a certain percentage of questions that are in this test here. Now, I'm trying to think. I think it was maybe the eighth grade level or the ninth grade. But obviously, as it progresses through the high school, like you said, 20% of the questions are of the documents themselves, which is good to know. That means if it's in the test, that means they're going to have to teach towards it, and they're going to have to spend time in the classroom. And of course, at the way the bill was constructed, is that one full credit hour was dedicated for American government. And so we were so pleased about that, because that was really beyond what we had actually were seeking to accomplish. It really met all the enthusiastic benchmarks that we wanted to see happen. Now, it all comes down to implementation. Now, I do want to commend your predecessor, the chairman of the committee. Who was your predecessor?
Well, I had two predecessors. I think the one you're referencing is Jerry Stebbleton.
Yeah, Jerry Stebbleton. Before he left and was termed out, he said he put an amendment on a bill that was coming through and says, we want to make sure that this bill isn't going to encroach upon what we accomplished last session with the Founding American Documents curriculum and our American government standards. In fact, now with this amendment, I am saying that we want reports timely to the legislature by the state school board and the Department of Education. So it's in law and it's required of the Department of Education and the state school board to report back. And so I think we're due some reports here as to how we're progressing. How are we going to pursue? What do you suggest is a way to pursue this for teachers? I'm sorry, for parents out there who are listening.
Yeah, a couple things. Number one, parents need to know what is going on in their own classroom of their kids. They need to ask the teachers. They need to ask the teachers what are on the test. The teachers can at least, they can't tell them maybe the specific questions, but they can say, yes, we've seen these test questions are on there. Another thing they can do is the test questions per statute on the end course exams. These would be the ones that the kids would take in high school. So these would be American government and American history. A certain percentage of those test questions are to be released every year. And they're supposed to be released on the Ohio Department of Education website. So those can be looked up to verify, were these questions, relating to the founding documents? Were they relating to the Constitution? And if not, we can take a look at that. But another thing we can do, I met with the Department of Education this morning, and we had a meeting to discuss several things, and this came up. And one of the things we can do is I could do follow-up, and the legislature can do follow-up with the department to have them verify through surveys of their own directly to all the school districts that they're actually complying with this statute to verify whether or not the founding documents have been included in age-appropriate material in the curriculum of their local schools. We can also do that, and in fact, the General Assembly and the State Budget renewed the Joint Education Oversight Committee, which is a joint committee of both the House and the Senate, and that committee can potentially do research and verify whether or not the state is in fact complying with the statute. And I think that is something that particular chairman of that committee is Representative Cupp, and that may be something that he could take up and we as a committee could take up. It switches back and forth this year. It's the House person is the chairman. Next year will be the Senate person will be the chairman. So that's another committee that could also investigate to verify that the state and the local school districts are in compliance. So I think those are a couple things we can do. We also have a midterm budget that will be coming up in about 6 to 7 months, and we could put some requirements in there that the state do a formal review and give us a formal update to the House of Representatives and the Senate as well as the governor and everybody else, so that everybody knows, in fact, that, you know, this has been incorporated into our local schools.
Well, that's excellent. That's a great way for us to move forward to follow up on this. And, you know, it's like Mr. Reagan used to say, trust but verify. We need to make sure that this
exactly.
is actually happening. You know, one of the things also, Representative, is that as I go to the Ohio Department of Education website, and I was there today, and there was a way that you can get emails on various things. And so I'm now on their email list for these very things, like about testing, some of the other things I signed up for. Mm-hmm. So I'll be getting some updates, and parents can do that as well by going to the Ohio Department of Education website. But one state school board member, Lisa Woods, referenced to me that there was a open comment section, but I'm not seeing it here on their main page of their website. She said it's a little bit hidden. She said it's almost like a secret society, because she says only liberals seems to be commenting on this page. She sent me the link. She said, can you get this out? And so it's important for them to hear feedback from conservatives, especially about this. And so we should follow up on that.
Absolutely. And in fact, Chris, that is an issue. I sit, because I am the chairman of the Education and Career Readiness Committee, I sit as an ex officio member, a non-voting member, on the state school board. And if they only hear from one side of the aisle on any issues, they're going to start leaning that direction. And so you're going to need, and your listeners definitely, go to that website, the Ohio Department of Education website, and start giving your feedback to the state school board members. It's very important that they hear from you to understand the concerns coming from those who want to make sure that the founding documents remain as part of the standards and that they're being taught in the local curriculum in the local schools. If that happens, then it'll continue.
Well, how are they able to change this with just a survey? What's going on here?
Well, they can't. I mean, they're not going to change anything with a survey, but what they do, there's a lot of administrative code that the department handles. So they can manipulate, and I say that somewhat generally, but they can write administrative code based on what the law is. They can't go, they're not supposed to go, and they don't go beyond the law, but they can address and write administrative code in such a way that if, in fact, let's say local school districts are not incorporating the founding documents language, then they can have administrative code written to show them how that it can be put into their local curriculum. So, for instance, if you know you have a student that's in the sixth grade and the student is expected to learn a certain amount about the Constitution and of Ohio, the Northwest Ordinance and all of that, and it's not included in the curriculum that that particular local school has, there can be guidelines that are set by the department. And it doesn't even need to be administrative code. These just could be some guidelines from a curriculum standpoint that they could give the local district that they can either utilize or take parts of. The thing about Ohio Revised Code that I don't think people realize, local school boards have a lot more power than they realize. They have the power to make sure that not only they follow the standards to pass the test, but they can go beyond that. And local school boards can, if they want to incorporate more of the state standards or more on the Constitution, more on the founding documents such as the Declaration of Independence and the Bill of Rights or anything like that, they can put that in and make sure that, you know, at age-appropriate levels in their local schools, that's included in the local school board's meetings. And parents and so forth can even go to the local school boards and you know, make sure that their local school boards have oversight over their own textbooks and their own curriculum. And if they do, they'll be able to see whether or not this stuff is being taught inside their local classrooms.
You know, I did find it on their website, Representative, as we're looking. It is like the second page there. It says, tell us your thoughts about proposed changes to science, social studies, and financial literacy standards. When you go down there, it's Ohio's learning standard revisions. You click on that link to see what they are, and there's a comment section in there. So we're going to need folks to weigh in on this. to urge them to stay the course on our founding documents in American government and history standards.
That is correct. In fact, that's a very good point. We put in a bill 3 years ago to try to maintain control at the state level, our standards. So we put in a requirement that the state school board review those standards and make sure that they're more Ohio-centric and that they meet the needs of the students of Ohio. And right now, they are undergoing a review, and that includes the social studies standards. So that would be American government and American history. So those are things where the feedback can come in from the public to give them. And that includes, as you said, financial literacy is also included in there. So those standards are now undergoing an ongoing review. So every couple years, they're going to make sure that, you know, those standards meet the needs of Ohioans. And it's going to go based, again, on feedback from the residents of the state of Ohio. So if you're not and the conservatives are not, or Christians are not giving their viewpoint, it will not show up in those standards. Or, you know, it could potentially be changed away from something that is more neutral. So that's always something to, and it's right on the main page of their website. And they've been undergoing the English language, arts, and mathematics review. They're now doing science, social studies, and financial literacy. But this is going to be something that will happen every few years. So they'll probably go back and re-review English and math in a few more years. And if there's something that they do that we don't like, we as a state legislature can always change the law and tell them to change it and make it a certain thing. So that's the other thing. That's why citizens monitoring what's going on at the state school board level in their local schools and giving feedback to their legislators, that's always a good thing, because then we're more informed at that point as to what's going on. And if we need to make adjustments to the laws, we can do so.
Well, we're talking with State Representative Andy Brenner, who is the chairman of the Education Committee at the in the Ohio Legislature at the Ohio State House. We're talking about the American Government and History Standards for Ohio. As many of you know, Ohio Christian Alliance, with other conservative groups, pushed for the Founding American Documents curriculum. It is in law. It is a requirement. It's end of course exam to teach our Founding Documents. But the bureaucrats are putting up a review process right now, and they need to hear from us, folks, in a strong way. Go to the Ohio Department of Education website. Click on that link on the revision of standards and comment and tell them to continue and even double down and strengthen the American government and history standards and the Founding of American Documents curriculum, teaching the founding documents in the classroom so that our children know who we are as an American republic. So this is essential. You know, the price of liberty is eternal vigilance, folks. We did this for 10 years. We fought it to get it through the legislature. The governor signed it 5 years ago. That's a 15-year project. Now here we are, where the bureaucrats are doing a review. They need to hear from us. You know, silence is not golden in this instance, and the squeaky door does get the oil. They need to know that we're watching them. Now, the representative is going to do what he can do, and that is to ask them to follow up with their reports that they're due, and we need to hold their feet to the fire and hold them accountable, but we need to do our part. So, Representative, we're going to put out an email blast. We're going to ask some of our other conservative friends around the state and their groups to do the same, and we'll see if we can't, by the 18th of July, get a lot of comments pouring in to the Ohio Department of Education. We're going to take a quick break and stay with us, Representative. We're going to have you back for some closing thoughts. We're going to go to a quick break. We'll be right back. Don't go away.
Who's looking out for seniors today? It's not the AARP. AARP worked overtime to help pass Obamacare, the legislation that cut over $700 billion from Medicare. And AARP supports the death tax, which can rob families of over half their savings due to the death of a loved one. Seniors know that AARP would rather make millions peddling insurance products than support the policies that actually help America's elderly. That's why America's seniors count on the 60 Plus Association. For more than 20 years, 60 Plus has been fighting for the seniors that AARP has left behind. 60 Plus Plus fought against Obamacare and continues to fight every day for its repeal in Washington. And 60 Plus is the leading national organization working to repeal the death tax once and for all so that families can pass down their businesses and farms to the next generation, not the IRS. Stand up for your values. Join 60 Plus today. Visit 60plus.org or call 703-807-2070. This message paid for and authorized by the 60 Plus Association.
And we're back with State Representative Andy Brenner, who is the chairman of the Education Committee at the Ohio Legislature at the Ohio State House. Representative, we just have a few minutes left. We're going to help you by weighing in putting in comment on these revision standards at the Ohio Department of Education. You're going to be following up with them about a report. What can we do going forward then?
Well, again, I think you're exactly right. They need to go specifically to the Ohio Department of Education's website and take that survey on the standards revision in science, social studies, and financial literacy, and let them know you want to keep the founding documents in there. You want to make sure that they're included in all grade levels at age-appropriate content, and that you would like to continue to see that. And that feedback period is, as you said, it is through July 18th. So you've got just a couple weeks to get the initial review into the Department of Education. So it's very important that they do that. Good news is social studies is Ohio-based. It's never been Common Core. So, you know, it's always been Ohio-based to begin with. And with the founding documents in there, that should help. Our students in the state of Ohio learn how government operates, how our history is, and how things actually are supposed to operate from a governmental standpoint. So it's very important. I think that's great, a great idea, feedback, going to the department website. And subscribe to their email. It'll come up right on the page when you log in, and you can get updates from them.
Well, thank you, Representative. We'll have you back as a follow-up to this program, and we'll see if we can muster a lot of comment before July 18th. Thanks for being our guest today.
Thank you very much for having me.
God bless you. And you've been listening to News in Focus, a broadcast of the Ohio Christian Alliance. You want to learn more about our organization, log on to ohioca.org or Google Ohio Christian Alliance and see some of the work that we're doing at the Ohio State House and also on the federal level. Also, if you'd like to contribute to this broadcast, we would appreciate that. And there's a donate button on our main page. Please take time to make a contribution today. We thank you for your contribution. God bless you. We'll see you next time.
You have been listening to News in Focus with your host, Chris Long, President of the Ohio Christian Alliance. To learn more about the issues that matter most to you and your family, visit online at ohioca.org. That's ohioca.org. Thank you for listening. This program is sponsored by the Ohio Christian Alliance of Akron, Ohio.